From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Welcome once again to Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns continues a message called Lessons on Sanctification, part of the series of studies in the Book of Joshua. Before Dr. Cairns comes, please enjoy this devotional thought from Faith's Checkbook by Charles Hatton Spurgeon. Today's devotional is entitled Past Deliverance Begets Faith. The text is found in 1 Samuel chapter 17 and verse 37. David said, moreover, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. This is not a promise if we consider only the words, but it is truly so as to its sense. For David spoke a word which the Lord endorsed by making it true. He argued from past deliverances that he should receive help in a new danger. In Jesus all the promises are yea and amen to the glory of God by us, and so the Lord's former dealings with his believing people will be repeated. Come then, let us recall the Lord's former loving kindnesses. We could not have hoped to be delivered aforetime by our own strength, yet the Lord delivered us. Will he not again save us? We are sure he will. As David ran to meet his foe, so will we. The Lord has been with us, he is with us, and he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Why do we tremble? Was the past a dream? Think of the dead bear and lion. Who is this Philistine? True, he is not quite the same, and is neither bear nor lion. But then God is the same, and his honor is as much concerned in the one case as in the other. He did not save us from the beasts of the forest to let a giant kill us. Let us be of good courage.
They have fought the fight.
They have run the race.
They have won the crown at
last. And the lies they lived remind us that though the race at times seems long, God will give the grace to complete the race and the courage to press on.
One of the chief characteristics of the Protestant Reformation of the 16th century was the preeminent place given to the Bible. The Reformers' motto was, "The Bible alone, the religion of the Protestants." Men such as Martin Luther and John Knox insisted that the Holy Scriptures contain everything necessary for Christian faith and practice. It is important for believers in the 21st century to understand the central significance of the Bible in daily living and in the battle for spiritual truth. Let the Bible Speak is making available free of charge a booklet called The Bible and the Protestant Reformation, published by the Trinitarian Bible Society. To obtain your copy, simply email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you wish, you may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. If you prefer regular mail, you may simply write Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just ask for your copy of The Bible and the Protestant Reformation, and we'll be delighted to provide it. Joshua chapter 10, verses 28 through 43, we find Joshua engaging in what might be called a mopping-up operation. Having defeated the coalition of five kings, there was now no serious threat to the army of Israel. Yet Joshua continued the campaign of conquest until nearly all of the cities in Canaan were subdued. From this account, Dr. Cairns is drawing an important parallel for the lives of God's people regarding the matter of sanctification, or holy living. In the course of the message, we'll see the importance of dealing with that which seems insignificant, but which may keep us back from living successfully for Christ. An important principle illustrated in the text is that Joshua pressed the battle when there seemed to be no immediate threat. God's people must not pursue sanctification only when there is a crisis. A temporary lull in the battle against sin does not mean permanent triumph. Constant vigilance is the only way to certain victory, for other foes remain to be conquered. Now here is Dr. Cairns to continue this message called Lessons on Sanctification.
An enemy lying low is not an enemy defeated. And that's why Joshua set out against these various kings and their cities in that quietened area. He was not at the point of a great crisis. He was not feeling the crunch of severe opposition, but he believed and knew from God it was still a time when he had to pursue the advantage. The old saying, strike when the iron's hot. When an enemy is on the run, keep him on the run. It doesn't take you to be a master of military tactics to know that. Don't let him regroup. Don't let him get strong enough to start his attack all over again. Joshua recognized that, and so he set out against these enemies. Now that's a lesson we do very well to learn. We should not mistake temporary lulls in the activity of our sins as permanent victories over those sins. That's a great folly that we find in Christians all too often. Every preacher knows this when he's called upon to counsel with Christians. They jump to a baseless optimism. They have battled some great sin, they have had some victory, and then there seems to be a lull in their lives, and they jump to the conclusion that everything is now under control. I don't really need any more help. I'm really riding high here. I have the victory. And all they have is a temporary lull in the activity of their lusts. Their optimism is baseless, and it will lead them to greater troubles than ever before. I think we have all experienced that. I think we have all made that mistake. I think that we should learn that sanctification is something you pursue not merely when you are in a crisis, but at all times. And if God has given you some victory, then pursue that victory. Employ that victory. And don't sit back thinking the battle's over. We see the same truth, though from a slightly different perspective and using a different illustration, in the case of Asa in 2 Chronicles 14 verses 5 through 7. We find that when the Lord gave Asa rest from his enemies, instead of sitting back saying, "My, it's great to have rest," what he did was to use the opportunity to strengthen his hand against the enemies who were then quiet but who were sure to rise up again. Thus we read in 2 Chronicles 14:5, the kingdom was quiet before him, and he built fenced cities in Judah, for the land had rest. And he had no war in those years because the Lord had given him rest. Therefore, said he unto Judah, let us build these cities and make about them walls and towers, gates and bars, while the land is yet before us. And that was a very wise precaution, because if you read on just into the next verse, you'll discover that the Ethiopians came with an army 1 million strong against the little country of Judah. Wasn't it a good thing that Asa had employed the time when there was quietness to be strong for the battle? It's exactly the same lesson, though in slightly different circumstances, that Joshua learned and we must learn. There are times when your lusts and your temptations appear to subside. There are times when the flesh is not as active in certain areas as it was before. But be very careful. The flesh is never more dangerous than when you think that it's not dangerous. Temptation is never more likely to overcome you than when you think you don't need to be wary of that temptation. We tend to make the awful mistake of waiting until we're in a crisis before we pursue the battle against our sin. Men and women, we must keep constant watch. We must seek to destroy every stronghold of sin in our hearts. There must be that constant, serious, honest pursuit of sin, where we hunt down the things in our lives that are grieving to God, not wait until we're in big trouble. It's my experience that everybody, even the wickedest of sinners, sounds very holy when he's in big trouble. The spiritual man has the same attitude to sin when he's not in a crisis. We don't pursue sanctification, therefore, only in a crisis. The second lesson is this. After a major victory, we should remember that there are still many other foes of holiness that we have yet to conquer. Joshua conquered the great confederacy. Now, that undoubtedly was the most serious attack mounted to date on the children of Israel. Five kings of five important cities got together, and they obviously felt they had an advantage. They took the attack. They drew Joshua to the battle where they wanted the battle, when they wanted the battle, under the conditions they wanted the battle. Those were all for them striking advantages. And Joshua defeated that great confederacy. But when he looked around that southern sector, he could see all these cities just beside the cave, or near the cave where he had slain the five kings. There was Makeda. It needed to be reduced. Then there was Libna. Then there was Lachish. Then the king of Gezer came. Then there was Eglon. It was Hebron, it was Debir. All these places needed to be reduced. He had defeated the big enemy, but the little enemies were still there to be defeated. We tend to concentrate on what we imagine are big sins. And we think that sanctification is really proceeding when we don't commit these big sins. Now, it's very important that we do not commit those big sins. It is an awful shame on the name and testimony of Jesus Christ when God's people are caught up in extremes of wickedness and worldliness. We ought to defeat the big sins. But we ought also to remember the words of Song of Solomon 2:15. Take us, the foxes, the little foxes, that spoil the vines, for our vines have tender grapes. A different figure of speech, but exactly the same truth as we find here in Joshua 10. The little foes to holiness, the sins that we tend to overlook as being of little consequence, actually halt the progress of more Christians than do the big sins. Let's look at ourselves. I would hope that I could look at this congregation and say to you who are saved that you're not living in drunkenness, and you're not living in adultery, and you're not living in theft, and you're not living in murder and pillage and all that sort of thing. I would hope that your life is morally pure and clean, because I tell you it ought to be. I would hope that you're not filling your mind with all the filth and the pornography of the world and all the ungodly wickedness of this age. These are big things. But as you look at your life and say, well, thank God He has delivered me from those things, yet you must look again and recognize I am not what I ought to be. I have not progressed to the extent I don't have the power in my life that I ought to have. I'm not enjoying Christ as I should enjoy Him. I'm not a witness for Christ as I should be. So what is wrong? It's not the adultery and the fornication and the murder and all the big things that are keeping me back. It's the smaller enemies we tend to overlook. When Paul wrote to the Galatians in chapter 5 verse 19 to 21, he gave them a list of what he called the works of the flesh. And I want you to notice how he mingles what we call big sins right alongside with what we call little sins. But obviously to Paul they weren't little sins. Listen. The works of the flesh are manifest: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, that is moral uncleanness and perversion, lasciviousness, extreme lustfulness, idolatry, witchcraft. Now we would all admit those are enormous sins. They're awful things. But then notice how he puts in hatred. Hatred. Is there a Christian here this morning and you're running around with a heart that's bitter? You bear that hatred toward a brother in Christ, or indeed toward another who's not a brother? Variance. How often we find among God's people that we have a saying, you know, about people being as crooked as a dog's hind leg. Never seen the dog's leg, you'll know what I mean. They just are always at variance with somebody, spoiling for a fight. If there's a difference, they're going to find it. If there's some opportunity to be at variance with a brother, they're going to be at variance. Emulations. And of course, we're talking about people wickedly seeking to emulate. Wrath, strife. We don't think of those on the same level as adultery and fornication and murder and witchcraft and idolatry. But God does. God does. He talks about seditions and heresies. We say, well, thank God we're not into seditious heresies. But then he says, envyings. And then he adds, murders, drunkenness, revelings. Notice how he doesn't put the big ones in one block and the little ones in another block. He lingers them to show us that the things we so often take to be inconsequential are not inconsequential at all. These are what we think of as little foxes, but they are spoiling the vine. They are destroying the tender fruit. There is the real reason for the lack of growth and grace, because of these so-called little foes, they remain to be conquered. We need to hunt down our sins. We need to come to the Word of God and let the Word of God search us through and through. We need to stand before our Savior, and as we gaze on Him, we need to let the light of His countenance expose to us the enemies that we have neglected pursuing.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.